जय राधम कुंज बिहारे।
द फॉलोइंग इज अ क्लास ऑन श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 8 टेक्स्ट नंबर 17 गिवन बाय हिज होलीनेस गोपाल कृष्ण गोस्वामी रिकॉर्डेड ऑन 2nd May of 1996 in Vrindavan, India.
Gopi Jana Bala Bhavala Dhari Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We have selected a verse from the 7th canto that specifically describes the appearance of the Lord as Lord Nrsingadev. It's canto 7 chapter 8 text 17.
सत्यं विदात्वा निज वृत्तवशीतां व्याप्तिं च भूतेष्व किलेषु चात्मनः अदर्शिताद्यद्भुतरूपमुद्वहन् स्तम्भे शवयां न मृगं न मनुषाम्।
नृसिंहदेव भगवान की, प्रहलाद महाराज की। सत्यम विदाथोम निज भृत्य बशीतम व्याप्तिम च भूतेष्व किलेषु चात्मनः अदर्श्यतात यद्भुता रूपम उद्वहन स्तंभे सभायाम न मृगम न मनुषम। सो वी आर सेलिब्रेटिंग द ऑस्पिशियस अपीयरेंस डे ऑफ लॉर्ड नृसिंहदेव। We've all heard these pastimes of the Lord so many times. But the nature of the pastimes of the Lord is that the devotees derive great pleasure in hearing about these pastimes again and again. We've all heard that the Lord appeared as Lord Nrsingadev and he annihilated a very, very powerful demon. And what was the demon's name? Hiranyakashipu. But actually, if you probe deeply, you realize that Hiranyakashipu was not, after all, a demon. He was in the core of his heart, actually a devotee. Jai and Vijay, the two doorkeepers of the Lord, were cursed by Kumaras. And when they were presented with a choice, they opted to be, their strong desire was that they always be in a position where they could always remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And since the Lord was planning on appearing on the planet, and when the Lord appears on this planet, he exhibits his opulences, as Parashar Muni has explained, Aishwarasya Samagrasya Viryashayashashashaya Jnana Viragyava Shaiva Sanna Bhaga Itingana. So that individual can be classified as God, who is in possession of six opulences to an unlimited degree. What are these opulences? Aishwarasya Samagrasya. He is the wealthiest of all. He is the most beautiful, the most knowledgeable, the most renounced, and the strongest, and the most famous. Just like one of the characteristics of the Lord is that he's the wealthiest. So who can compare to the wealth that the Lord exhibited when he was on this planet? For example, when Krishna was residing in Dwarka, he was able to provide each of his 16,108 queens with a very opulent palace that was decorated with the most expensive furniture made of ivory, gold, and gold. And he's the most famous. You can travel to any part of the world. Even if you talk to an atheist and ask him, what's the meaning of God, he'll tell you what God means. He may not have the proper understanding of God, but at least he can describe God as a powerful entity or whatever. He is the most beautiful. He's all attractive. No one can attract, no one is more beautiful than Krishna. Krishna is also known as Madan Mohan. And he is the most knowledgeable. When Krishna was on the planet, he could even communicate with the birds, he could speak all the languages. And the timeless wisdom, the knowledge that Krishna has given us in the Vedas, is Sanatana Dharma. Even today when you read about it, you feel as if the knowledge was given only yesterday. And he's also the most renounced. Krishna exhibited this quality of renunciation, also how he would leave the gopis in the midst of the rasa dance. And he's the strongest. No one can compare to his strength. In the material world, you may have individuals who are strong, or who are beautiful, or who are rich, but you will never find someone who possesses all these qualities at the same time to an unlimited degree. For example, in the material world, the Sultan of Brunei, he is considered the richest man, one of the countries in the Middle East. So I happened to see his picture a few years ago in a magazine, richest man of the world. But if you look at his picture, he doesn't look handsome at all. Short man, skinny man. You know, even a healthy guy from the Gurukul could knock him off. But here's the richest man of the world. So in the material world, you may find someone who possesses one attribute, or he may be the most beautiful, but no one will possess all the six opulences to an unlimited degree at the same time. So one of Krishna's unlimited opulences is Viryasha. He's the strongest. So when the Lord was planning on appearing, but when the Lord appears on the planet and when he performs his leela, his opponent also has to be extraordinarily strong. His opponent cannot be an ordinary entity. So in other words, it was the inner desire of the Lord, and this is confirmed by Jiva Goswami, that the two doorkeepers of the Lord, Jai and Vijay, be cursed by the Kumaras. And they were cursed, and they took on the role of playing the role of demons on three different occasions. In Satya Yuga, they appeared as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Specifically, Hiranyakashipu, who was killed by Lord Narasimhadev, was Jai. And then in Treta Yuga, they appeared as Ravana and Kumbhakarna. And at the end of Dwapara Yuga, as Shishupala and Dantavakra. So these were all extraordinarily powerful demons who appeared to help make the Lord's activities relishable and enjoyable. If the Lord would have fought with an ordinary opponent, then it would have been no great deal, isn't it? But the Lord fought with a very, very powerful opponent, and ultimately the Lord annihilated him. So in the ultimate analysis, Dao Hiranyakashipu was playing the role of a demon. In the core of his heart, he was always absorbed in thinking of the Lord, and he was a devotee. But he was playing the role of a demon, and he did a perfect job at that. So in this verse that we read, it describes the appearance of the Lord as Lord Narasimhadev. And as we all know, this is the appearance of the Lord as a half man and as a half lion. Hiranyakashipu was already concerned that he may not be killed by an animal. Why did he voice that concern? Because his brother had been killed by an animal. Ultimately, his brother was also not killed by an animal, but he was killed by the Lord, who appeared in the form of a boar. This is the inconceivable nature of the Lord. He is capable of incarnating in any form. as a tortoise, as a fish, as a boar, because nothing is inconceivable for the Lord. We must understand that very carefully. The Lord is inconceivable, and the Lord can exhibit most inconceivable and wonderful pastimes. Therefore, the devotees of the Lord do not endeavor or attempt to understand the Lord with the material senses, but they understand the Lord through the eyes of the scriptures. Now, Hiranyakashipu, the powerful demon, he had four sons, one of whom was the beloved Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was very, very upset when he discovered that his brother, Hiranyaksha, had been killed by the Lord in the form of who had appeared in the form of a boar. So Hiranyakashipu wanted to become very, very powerful, immortal. As we've all heard, the word Hiranyakashipu means, it symbolizes one who is fond of Hiranya, soft bed, and Kash, gold. In other words, one who is fond of all illicit activities, gold and liquor and soft bed, woman and so on. Hiranyakashipu was very addicted to sense gratification. However, he had one knowledge. He was aware of one reality, which was that even if you want to become immortal or you want to become deathless, you have to, if you want material power, you must perform austerities. The present-day Hiranyakashipus don't believe in the value of austerity. There are many tiny Hiranyakashipus in society today. In fact, almost virtually everyone today is a junior Hiranyakashipu. But they, in other words, they're interested in a soft bed and gold, but they do not understand the value of austerity. Hiranyakashipu knew that Lord Brahma became so powerful because of the austerities that Lord Brahma had performed. So Hiranyakashipu knew that if I want to get these benedictions, I also have to perform austerities. And he did a great job at that. He performed austerities for 36,000 years. Can you believe that? For 36,000 years he practiced austerities. We devotees, when we have to practice austerities, even for a few hours, a few years, it's such an endeavor. But he was able to perform austerities for 36,000 years. He was so austere that he went to a location known as Mandara Hill. And over there, he went and stood on his toes with his hands raised towards the sky and his face looking towards the sky. And there was fire emanating from his hair, from his head. And he had thousands and thousands of ants going up and down his body. His body had become what is known as an anthill. You've seen anthills. Ants go up and down, thousands of ants go up and down. We are so sensitive that sometimes, even if you have a fly sitting in any part of your body, you're ready to shoot it with a cannon, isn't it? If you have a fly on your nose and your head, you get disturbed, am I right? It's so irritating. And sometimes the ants, you know, enter your body. Sometimes devotees, when they give us garlands, the garlands have some ants in it. And the ant gradually comes to the back of the ear or somewhere, and it's so irritating. One ant we can't tolerate. The most we can tolerate is a few seconds. But here was Hiranyakashipu tolerating thousands and thousands of ants going up and down his body, living in his body. In fact, all the skin of his body had been eaten up by these ants. Can you believe it? And he was still standing straight. with his hands at the sky, looking up in the sky. You know, if we tell any of you, look up, beyond 10 minutes, you know, you'll get tired. Even the best of yogis. But here was Hiranyakashipu, standing in the hot sun. So much fire was coming out from his head. And he had thousands, unlimited ants going up and down, up and down, up and down his body. They were living on his body. Over here, Prabhupada makes a very important point in the purport. Prabhupada points out that actually you can live even with just bones, because the soul is there, not the flesh. Hiranyakashipu virtually had no flesh. Not virtually, he really had no flesh. There was no flesh left. It was all eaten by the ants. Still he was living. So it goes to prove that as long as the soul is in the body, you have life. And when the soul leaves the body, the living entity is pronounced dead. So, Hiranyakashipu, it's a long story, as a result of his austerities, he had created such a disturbance. Everyone was so disturbed that they all went to Lord Brahma and they were begging Lord Brahma, please do something. This man has made our living impossible. The whole universes were getting so, everything was becoming so unpleasant that even Lord Brahma, when he came over there, he said, okay, don't worry, I'll take care. So Lord Brahma went looking for Hiranyakashipu. He went to Mandara Hill. He was standing right next to Hiranyakashipu and he could not recognize him. Does anyone know why? Even Brahma got bewildered and he thought this was an anthill. Till he realized, oh, this is Hiranyakashipu. Then he sprinkled some water and by Brahma's grace, Hiranyakashipu's body that had been eaten up by all the ants and worms again was restored to a very handsome body. So Brahma being very kind, in fact, Hiranyakashipu had become so powerful as a result of his austerities that except for Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, all the demigods were also scared of him. They would all come and offer him dandavats. What can we do for you? He had already become so powerful that except Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu, everyone was scared of him. No one would even go near him. So Brahma, being very kind, said, come on, you're creating too much of a disturbance. Just like where so Brahma said, okay, I'll give you a benediction. What do you want? Why are you performing all these austerities? What is your ultimate goal? I want to become deathless. So Brahma, being honest, said, how can I make you deathless when even I'm not deathless? Brahma himself has acknowledged in the Bhagavatam that the foolish thing that I'm the creator, but I'm not the creator. The ultimate creator is you. Therefore, Brahma concluded, Govindamadi Purusam Tamamaham Bhajami. So, Lord Brahma clearly told him that I can't make you deathless. Oh, really? Can't make me deathless? Okay, then give me some other benedictions that appear more feasible. As Prabhupada often said, quoting on this pastime of Hiranyakashipu with Lord Brahma, this is the nature of the materialist. The materialist is always thinking that he can manipulate some plan by which he can ultimately get what he wants. Therefore, the materialists, they're busy making plans by which they can achieve, you know, more or less a position of long life, free of disease and so on. They know they can't become deathless. So they say, okay, we won't become deathless. Now we'll try and make you free of disease, long life and so on, give you all the comfort. But there is no comfort. So Lord Brahma said, agreed to give Hiranyakashipu various benedictions. And he said, okay, give me the benediction that I will not be killed by a man or an animal. As we told you earlier, he wanted that benediction because he knew that his brother was killed by a boar. Okay, I will not be killed in the day or the night or the evening, not by a man or a weapon. He gave various demands. and not in the sky or on land or in water. So Brahma said, okay, okay, okay. So Hiranyakashipu became very confident that he's gone around Brahma and secured from Brahma the various assurances as a result of which he would be immortal, he would be deathless. And Hiranyakashipu continued to terrorize everyone. While Hiranyakashipu was performing his austerities in Mandara Hill, Prahlad was in the womb of his mother. And Indra and the other demigods were already troubled to a great degree by Hiranyakashipu's activities, and they were concerned that this child in the womb of this lady may not be another powerful demon. So what did they do? They were dragging Prahlad's mother, and they wanted to keep her under their protection. And when the child would come out, their plan was to kill the child. So as they were dragging Prahlad's pregnant mother, Narada Muni appeared on the scene. And Narada Muni asked them, what are you doing? Why are you dragging this lady like this? So the demigod said, you don't know who this lady is? She is Mrs. Hiranyakashipu. And within this lady's womb, there's a demon. So our plan is that as soon as the child is born, to annihilate the child. Because one demon's enough. You know, we don't want two demons terrorizing our existence. As they say, like father, like son. You've heard that in English? But it doesn't always happen like that, huh? But often it does happen, like father, like son. So, on Narada Muni's assurance that the child in the womb was not a demon but a devotee, the demigods released Prahlad's mother, and she was given protection by Narada Muni. And when she was given protection by Narada Muni, Narada Muni instructed her on the science of devotional service, Bhagavad Dharma, which was also heard by Prahlad in the womb of his mother. So this brings out another important point that we can understand and use in our preaching, that the child in the mother's womb has consciousness because there is soul in the body. So all those who resort to abortion and other killing techniques are actually engaged in a very, very sinful activity. The classic example here is Prahlad, who heard the instructions when he was in the womb of his mother. So Prahlad heard the transcendental instructions from Narada Muni when he was in the womb of his mother. Prahlad explained that my mother, being a woman, she gradually forgot these instructions, but I was able to retain all of them. So Prahlad Maharaj, as we all know, he was sent to a very aristocratic school. After all, Prahlad was the son of a king. Hiranyakashipu was a king. Rich people's children go to children's school of rich people. It's like in India also, you have schools for children of aristocratic parents and so on. So Prahlad was a student, and he had in the school where other children of demons also studied, Prahlad's teachers, Sanda and Amarka, these were the sons of Shukracharya. Shukra means semen. So Shukracharya was only interested in his own financial remuneration. So he was not worried about the ultimate goal of life. So Sanda and Amarka, they were constantly being bombarded by Hiranyakashipu that my son should not have any attachment to Vishnu. Who is teaching my son about Vishnu? Are these Vaishnavas coming in disguise to preach to my son? Because Sanda and Amarka would always tell Prahlad's father, we are not instructing your son about Vishnu. We don't know where he's getting this knowledge from. And then Hiranyakashipu concluded, yes, these Vaishnavas are very tricky. They sometimes come in disguise. Yes, Vaishnavas are a little tricky to serve Krishna. Just like in the Western countries, often our devotees go to distribute these transcendental books in karmic clothes. They disguise their real identity. Sometimes they go dressed up as in very nice suits. They say, I'm so and so. They go under their karmic names and they say, here are some books of happiness, books on yoga. So the Vaishnavas, it's not that they don't believe in using their intelligence. They believe in using their intelligence to serve the ultimate mission of the Lord. So, Prahlad, however, had this transcendental knowledge because he had obtained this transcendental knowledge when he was in the womb of his mother. And Prahlad gave these instructions to his classmates. Prabhupada was so fond of these instructions that Prabhupada lectured on these teachings of Prahlad Maharaj so many times, unlimited times. Some of the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj are the most quoted verses of Prabhupada, if you analyze the verses that Prabhupada has quoted the most. So Prahlad's instructions are very important, how Prahlad instructed his classmates that they must not waste this time. Prahlad had absolutely no interest in frivolous activities. He was not interested in playing, jumping up, playing ball. Prahlad's friends would say, come, play, play, play. What would Prahlad say? No. And Prahlad instructed, Kamara achrat pragyo dharmam bhagvatamya durlabha manasam janma tadapi adruvam arthada. How human life should be utilized perfectly from the age of 5 onwards. Durlabha manasam janma. This birth is very rare. Don't waste it. Utilize it. So Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu, could not succeed in influencing Prahlad or in stopping Prahlad from preaching to his classmates. As a result of Prahlad's preaching, all his demonic classmates became devotees of Vishnu. All of them. They all became devotees, they all started chanting, and they all, this is the power of pure preaching. Just like Srila Prabhupada went to the West, went to the very demonic environment, where people were deeply rooted in sense gratification. In fact, in the prayer that Prabhupada composed, when he landed in Boston, he said, how will these people be saved? I see no hope. But by your mercy, you can make it happen. So the devotee knows that regardless how demonic the environment may be, by the mercy of the Lord, the inconceivable can become conceivable. Just like the Chaitanya Charitamrita states, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a blind man can see, a deaf man can walk, a lame man can cross mountains, and a dumb man can speak. So anything can happen by the mercy of the Lord if we stick to purity. So Hiranyakashipu tried his best to get Prahlad to give up his attachment to Krishna. He had him thrown from mountain tops. He had elephants walk over him. He had poison administered to him. He left no stone unturned. As it is said, Rakhe Krishna Mare Ke, Mare Krishna Rakhe Ke. Kaunteya pratijanahi na me bhakta pranashati. My devotee will never perish. Declare it boldly to the world. And who Krishna wants to protect, no one can annihilate. And who Krishna wants to annihilate, no one can protect. And Krishna wants to protect his devotees. No doubt, we've all gone through difficulties. Some devotees have been imprisoned. Some devotees have died in the course of preaching. But no one had to go through the difficulty that Prahlad had to undergo, being thrown from mountain tops, etc. So Prahlad in every situation was protected by the Lord, just like the Pandavas were also protected by the Lord, even though the Pandavas had to go through so many difficult situations. Ultimately, it's a long story, you read about the pastime in the 7th canto. Ultimately, Hiranyakashipu was totally frustrated. He could not understand where Prahlad was getting all his strength from. When Hiranyakashipu wanted to train his son up in diplomacy, in dividing society into friends and enemies, what did Prahlad say? I don't want this knowledge. To me, everyone is my friend. No one is my enemy. So this is the nature of a devotee. He treats everyone as his friend. Titikshava karunika surda sarva dhainam. Surda sarva dhainam. He's a friend of every living entity. He doesn't even want to step over an ant. Jad Bharat, when he was carrying the palanquin of King Rahugana, he was so careful that he did not even want to step over an ant. So a devotee is a friend of everyone. So Hiranyakashipu was unsuccessful in influencing Prahlad. In fact, on one occasion, Hiranyakashipu manifested his paternal affection. He made Prahlad sit down on his lap and he told Prahlad, tell me, son, what did you learn in school today? And the son said, my dear father, the father was expecting that the son would say something that you are supreme. But instead the son said, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smarnam Pada Sevanam Archanam Vandam Dasam Sakhyam Atmanivedam. At this, the father was greatly angered and he threw him down from his lap straight right away. So anyway, Hiranyakashipu was totally unsuccessful in all his evil plans. So prior to this, the demigods had approached the Supreme Lord also. They had approached that they wanted relief from Hiranyakashipu's activities. And the voice came from the Lord which said, not to worry. As soon as Hiranyakashipu increases his envious activity on Prahlad, the Lord would appear. So the demigods knew that the Lord was going to appear. So ultimately, Hiranyakashipu was frustrated and he asked Prahlad, where are you getting your strength from? And Prahlad said, I'm getting my strength from the same source that you're getting your strength. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, sarvasya chaham hirdi sane vishto mataha smriti jnanam apahanam cha. I'm the cause of smriti and I'm also the cause of apahanam. I'm the cause of remembrance, I'm also the cause of forgetfulness. It's just like the powerhouse is the source of power that comes for cooling and for heating. The devotee gets his power from the Lord to worship the Lord. And the Lord reciprocates in proportion to our desire and in proportion to the nature of a desire. So, Hiranyakashipu ultimately was informed by Prahlad that his Lord is all-pervasive. Hiranyakashipu wanted to know where the Lord resided. And he was informed by Prahlad that the Lord is all-pervasive. The Lord is everywhere. At which he was also informed that the Lord is also inside that pillar. Hiranyakashipu pointed out at the pillar with his sword and said, is the Lord over there? And the devotee replied, yes, he is over there. And Hiranyakashipu thought, now I've captured the Lord. You know, just like when you're looking for a thief, you circle the building first and then you go after the thief so the thief may not be able to run away. So Hiranyakashipu thought, now I know where my eternal enemy is. Here he is. And I've circled him. So now I'm going to capture him. So little did he realize the inconceivable nature of the Lord. And then when he heard this, before the Lord appeared, there was a big sound. And when the sound appeared, everyone got scared. Even all the demigods, they were all scared. You know, just like we're all sitting peacefully hearing the Bhagavatam, but the moment there's a heavy sound, everyone's going to get scared. Where's the sound coming from? Isn't it? So no one could figure out where the sound was coming from. Except Prahlad, everyone got scared when the sound was heard. So ultimately, the Lord appeared in his very beautiful form of Lord Narasingadev from that pillar. The Lord appeared, as Prabhupada has said in the concluding lines of the purport of the verse we read, keeping all the promises of his beloved devotee Brahma to be intact. How did the Lord appear? The Lord appeared as a half man, half lion. By this, he fulfilled Brahma's promise that he will not be killed by a man, or an animal. He fulfilled that promise. Because no one could ever conceive, even though Brahma, even though Hiranyakashipu thought that he had extracted virtually every type of assurance from Brahma, but Hiranyakashipu did not realize, oh, maybe God can appear as a half man, half lion. Or a half man, he didn't think of that. He only thought of what he could think with his material senses, but he could not think of the inconceivable characteristics that the Lord is capable of exhibiting. So he said, okay, no man, no lion. Lord said, okay. So he appeared as half man, half lion. Then he said, I should not be killed either in the sky or on earth or on... That was also fulfilled. He was killed by the Lord on his lap, which is neither the sky, neither the earth, neither water. Then he wanted to promise that he would not be killed by any thunderbolt or any weapon. That was also realized. He was killed by the sharp nails of the Lord. You know, in human society, the ladies often have a tendency to keep long nails, huh? Sometimes I've seen real long nails. And sometimes you have these yogis. I saw a yogi that had such long nails, I couldn't even bear the sight for more than a second. I had to close my eyes. He had not cut his nails for such a long time. So it doesn't matter how long nails he may have, very rarely do you hear of nails that have the capacity to even slice a chapati. You know, even to, if you want to slice a chapati of bread, you have to virtually use a knife. But here are the nails of the Lord that had the capacity to tear apart Hiranyakashipu's body from his belly. Just this was the sharpness of the nails, totally inconceivable. If you ever describe it to someone, they'll say, oh, this is not possible. Just like, you know, when the Robin George case was going on in America, there was a famous case called Robin George case. So anyway, when the other side, when our enemies wanted to prove that our religion was concocted or crazy, someone can correct me if I'm wrong, they took that picture of Lord Narsingadev, of God appearing as half man, half lion, and they told the court, look, this is the religion they follow, where this animal is worshipped as God. Am I right, Bhakti Rupa? Something like that. Dina Bandi, remember? Yeah, there was something like that in the court. The other side took the picture and said, look, this is their religion, where they worship this animal as God. Can anyone appear? Of course, God is inconceivable, but the jury was trying to analyze whether what is God. Anyway, so then another assurance realized was, he will not be killed in the day or the night, isn't it? So he was killed just at twilight, dusk, just when you're going from evening to night. Again, keeping Brahma's promise intact. So keeping all of Brahma's assurances, Hiranyakashipu was ultimately killed. Of course, we had made the point earlier in our discussion how in the core of his heart, Hiranyakashipu was Jai and he was a devotee. So this is also proven in the verses in the Bhagavatam, because in the verse prior to the verse we discussed, Lord Narsingadev, Hiranyakashipu is addressed as Shri. Shri. So Shri is normally a sign of respect. So Shri Hiranyakashipu. So even the Bhagavatam addresses that. So, and ultimately, even after Hiranyakashipu was killed, the Lord went and sat on his chair, went and sat on his throne. So this was another great favor given by the Lord. So today is that very wonderful occasion, the occasion that Lord Narsingadev appeared to protect his devotee Prahlad, to keep the promises of his devotee Brahma intact. So Prabhupada has taught us that we take shelter of Lord Narsingadev to protect a devotional creeper and to pray to Lord Narsingadev to remove all obstacles on the path of pure bhakti. We don't pray to Lord Narsingadev for material benefits. We can pray to Lord Narsingadev to destroy all our all the obstacles on the path of complete pure surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And look at Prahlad's merciful nature. Even after Hiranyakashipu was killed, Prahlad went to the Lord and said, "Even though my Lord was a demon, I want to beg you, please give him liberation. Of course he had been touched by you, but still, please liberate him." And what did the Lord say? The Lord said, "You don't have to ask me for that. Up to 21 generations of his forefathers have been liberated." So Prabhupada explains the power of pure bhakti. If you become a devotee, then not only do you benefit, but all your ancestors. If somebody asks you, okay, who's your father, who's your grandfather, you can recall up to 1, 2, 3, 4 generations. Beyond that, nobody knows, isn't it? But look at the power of bhakti. Up to 21 generations, the Bhagavatam confirms. So this is the power of pure bhakti. So Prahlad was protected by the Lord. The devotee knows that my Lord is inconceivable. He can do anything. When the cobbler heard that the Lord was passing an elephant through the eye of a needle, he was happy. But when the Brahmana was told this, he said, how is that possible? How can he pass an elephant through the eye of a needle? So to the devotee, the Lord can appear in any inconceivable form and is a source of great pleasure and delight. So on this auspicious day, we should just absorb ourselves in the wonderful teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, because the Lord is never separated from his devotees. So we should absorb ourselves in the wonderful teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, because by absorbing ourselves in the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, you will free yourself from the anarthas. And we should absorb ourselves in the wonderful pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj and the Lord. And by absorbing ourselves in these transcendental pastimes, we'll become more Krishna conscious and thereby gain the strength to free ourselves from the influence of the agents of the illusory energy like Kaam, Krodh, Lobh, Moh, Mad, Matsarya, that are always trying to distract us from the auspicious path of devotional service. The Singhadev Bhagavan Ki Jai! Hare Krishna.